Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you said that you would not leave us alone, but you would send us another comforter. May that be true this morning and always. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. Well, my title for this morning is Blowin' in the Wind. And of course, as most of you know, because you're former hippies and flower children, this comes from the 1963 Bob Dylan song in which he asks a series of unanswerable questions, questions which point to the inscrutability and perhaps the injustice of life. So, for example, he asks, "How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free?" And of course, he's writing in the midst of the civil rights movement. "How many times can a man turn his head pretending he just doesn't see?" And the answer, Dylan says, and it really is no answer at all, is blowing in the wind. And I chose this title for a couple of reasons. Number one, today is Pentecost, one of the most important days in the church calendar, but also one of the most quickly forgotten. I was over in Family Table, the 9:15 family service in the old church last week, with a group of about 250 small children and their parents. And I said, "Hey, next week, wear red. There's going to be red velvet cupcakes. It's a very important holiday in our Christian calendar, in our life together as a church." And I said, "Does anyone know what day it is?" And this little girl raised her hand. And I called on her, and just with expectation in her eyes, she said, "Christmas." And I said, "No. We are very, very far away from Christmas. It's Pentecost. It is the 1,982nd anniversary of that day when Jesus' disciples were gathered in Jerusalem. And as Acts chapter 2 puts it, "Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." Today is the day that the wind of the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples and blew them out to the ends of the earth. Today is the day that the disciples found themselves blowing in the wind of the Holy Spirit, and the world was forever changed. So that's reason number one. We celebrate Pentecost today. But the second reason is that perhaps this morning you feel a little bit like in your life, you are blowing in the wind. And again, I'm not just talking about the tornado warning we had, or the fact that the Rockets got blown out last night, or that the air conditioning is turned on really, really high in here this morning, apparently. I'm talking about life being confusing and uncertain. You know, this is the beginning of summer, and very often it's a transition point in our lives. Perhaps you or one of your children is moving from one school to another, and there's a little uneasiness about that change. Perhaps you or one of your children has just graduated from college or grad school and is preparing to enter the working world, and there's some angst and fear about the future. Perhaps you're moving to a new home or out of work or starting a new job. Perhaps there's a family member that you're concerned about, someone who's been going through some physical or mental illness. Or perhaps on this day before Memorial Day, you're remembering a loved one who is taken from you all too soon, either by violence or some other means. Whatever your own particular circumstances may be, my guess is that there are more than a few of you who feel this morning that you are blowing in the wind, as if your life is a bit out of control and you don't know what's coming next. You may believe in God, but you're wondering, where is he? What's he up to? When's he going to show up and answer your prayers? When is everything going to calm down and fall into place? So if that's the way you're feeling this morning, I want to say to you, you're in good company, because I think that's exactly how the disciples were feeling on that first Pentecost morning. After all, here is a group of men who had just experienced a wild, dramatic, and traumatic 3 years. They had been called by Jesus to follow him. They had walked with him. They'd heard Jesus' teaching. They'd seen his miracles. And then tragically, senselessly, they'd lost him in a very violent act, only to regain him 3 days later, and then only to lose him again as he disappeared into the sky. But before he left, Jesus gave them two seemingly contradictory instructions. Go and wait. His first instruction was to go. You may know the Great Commission, which is memorialized in the Great Commission window at the back of our church, where Jesus tells the disciples before his ascension, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. You know, a minor item on the to-do list. Go. But then the second thing he says, which will enable the first, is before you go, wait. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so they waited. And a few days turned into a week, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and a month, and 40 days. You know, probably in the back of their mind, they're like, 40 days, that's a good, 40 is a good biblical number. Maybe he'll show up now, but he didn't. But then finally, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit rushed into that room and they were clothed with power. And St. Peter, that same Peter who had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times because he so feared for his life, in that same city where Jesus was crucified, stands up in front of the whole city and boldly proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, that he has died and risen again, that there is salvation in no other name except Jesus's. And that same day, 3,000 people are converted. 3,000 people join the church. And this today really is the birthday of the church. And of course, after that, they all lived happily ever after, right? No, of course not. They experienced a moment of transcendence, a moment of God's power in their midst. And they would experience more, but they would also experience heartache and conflict and great victories and huge mistakes and persecutions. And many of them, including nearly every single one of those original apostles, was martyred for their faith. They died because of this message they proclaimed. There's no doubt that they were blowing in the wind of God's Holy Spirit, but sometimes it was a rush and sometimes it was confusing. Let me tell you another story, a little bit more recent one, because I think it's the best example of the power of the Holy Spirit in anyone that I've known sort of closely in my own life. I knew a girl in college. She'd been raised in a Christian home. She'd gone through confirmation classes. She'd been involved with Young Life a little bit. But then in high school, her parents went through a pretty nasty divorce, and it turned her life upside down. Her mom moved in with another man about half an hour outside town and took her daughter with her. And so suddenly my friend, this girl, found herself in a strange house with a strange man and isolated from her school, her community, her friends, and to be honest, with a mother whose mind was on other things. And at some point in the midst of all that, my friend decided there probably was no God. Or if there was, then he didn't want anything to do with her, had nothing good to offer in the midst of all she was experiencing. And she came to the conclusion that it was all up to her. Her life was in her own hands, on her own shoulders. No one was coming to rescue her. No one was coming to help her. And she had to get it done alone. And so the day after her high school graduation, she packed up her car and left home. She moved to the city and got a job and worked full-time and went to school full-time and resolved to get her degree debt-free because she wasn't getting any help from any of her family members, and finances had been a big part of why her parents broke up. And so she's like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to work. I'm going to go to school. And I'm going to do it all without taking out any loans. And so when I met her in college, she was either working or going to school about 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, driving 100 miles a day because she'd get up and go to work and then school and then work and then school. I'd never seen anything like it. And after a few years, she couldn't keep it up anymore. You know, she had shoved to the side everything which might hinder her ambition, the need for relationship, for love, for connection. And finally, she couldn't keep it up anymore. And she had an anxiety attack and decided that maybe it was time that she reevaluate her life. She and I had become friends during this time, and she knew that I was a Christian, and so I had recommended maybe she wanted to check out a couple books. And I never thought she would, but she actually did. She read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, with which some of you may be familiar, and Letters from a Skeptic by Greg and Roy Boyd, and a few Josh McDowell books. She started praying. She started getting answers. And after a few months, she decided that there might be something to this whole God thing. Maybe he really was there. But there was just one small problem. And I remember her saying to me, you know, I'm pretty sure, okay, I believe in God, and I'm pretty sure that Jesus was him. And I believe that Jesus lived and performed miracles and died and was resurrected. I'm pretty sure I've got that. But this Holy Spirit idea, the third person of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This, the idea that there's some invisible force of God that is here to comfort me and convict me and make me and mold me and shape me, as we just talked about, to change me. It's just a little too touchy-feely. You know, I can do the mind part, but the life transformation part, I'm not sure if I can buy into that. And then one weekend night, she went down to Blockbuster Video. You guys remember Blockbuster? Yeah? And rented a movie. And when she came out, there was a homeless man sitting there. The city where we went to college, there were a lot of homeless people, and he was begging. And of course, she didn't give him anything because she had nothing to give, and she figured as hard as she was working to make life happen, there's no reason she should give money to someone who wasn't working as hard. So she went home, she watched the movie, but the whole time she was watching it, she could not get the image of this man out of her head. And so when it was over, she pushed the rewind button and went to her dresser and got out her emergency cash stash, like $60. This was her savings account. And she drove back to Blockbuster, and she turned in that tape, and she handed over those $60. And when she got back in her car to go home, she had her own little Pentecost, because she realized that by the power of the Holy Spirit, her heart had learned to speak a language that it did not previously know. That she was not a generous, giving person by nature, but that the Holy Spirit had entered into her life and inspired an act which she could have never carried out on her own. And that was the moment that she said, okay, I give up. I believe in you, Jesus. That's the moment she became a Christian. And she lived happily ever after, right? No, of course not. I've kept up with that woman, and I can tell you that her life, just like my life, just like your life, just like the life of the apostles, has been full of ups and downs and joys and sorrows and victories and defeats. You know, and there have been moments like that moment at Blockbuster when she felt like she was being caught up in the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes she felt like she was just blowing in the wind. But you know what? I think that's what the Christian life actually looks like. That's what the Holy Spirit looks like. Right? That life in the power of the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. It's untamable. If you're looking for a quiet, controlled life, look elsewhere. The Holy Spirit will take you to places you never imagined, on adventures you could never conceive of. I mean, do you think that I ever thought in my wildest dreams that I'd end up in Houston, Texas? You know, this Connecticut Yankee now has two sons who are saying y'all on a consistent basis, and I find it deeply disturbing. I'm just kidding. We love Texas. But you get the idea, right? God, my wife's a Californian. I'm a you know, East Coaster, and here we are at a place we never thought we'd find ourselves by the grace of God. You know, he's got a sense of humor and a sense of adventure. Or listen to what Jesus himself says in John chapter 3. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, if you feel like you're blowing in the wind, it's because you are. You are blowing in the wind of the Holy Spirit, and the unpredictability of life may be more a mark of God's presence than his absence. As Hebrews says, the writer of Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You never know where he's going to take you. So you may be thinking to yourself, is this what I dragged myself out of a bed and into the rain to hear this morning? I mean, I know my life is crazy. Can you give me a little bit of comfort? Well, let me leave you with a few words of comfort about the Holy Spirit, about Pentecost. What I think this day means, what the gift of the Holy Spirit means, is that we are never alone. Never. No matter where we go, what we do, what highs or lows we may experience, what mistakes we may make, God goes with us and will never leave us. I mean, I don't know if you heard it, but listen to Paul's words from this morning's epistle, his letter to the Romans. Here's what Paul says about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, even when you don't know what to pray, when you can't find the words, the Spirit knows what to pray for you and is interceding with God on your behalf. And God knows the mind of the Spirit and answers those prayers. So number one, you are never alone. And number two, your life is not a mistake. It may be unpredictable. It may be uncomfortable. It may be uncontrollable. But it is all in God's hands. And whatever the adventure may bring, he is in control. He knows what he's doing. And come what may in this life, wherever the wind of the Spirit may blow us, we will, in fact, eventually live happily ever after. Amen.